This morning is our Holy Communion service. We were looking at a subject the last time that we titled Live Unto Jesus. So put that aside for today and just take advantage of the communion service and press in to more of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the benefits of salvation anew today. The psalmist said, just as we already read this morning from Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not," that's the key, "forget not all his benefits, because God loads us daily with his benefits." So we have to remember those benefits and receive them every day. You see, the reason why God makes them available daily for us is that we may come and receive them every day. It's unfortunate that many of us don't go to God to receive on a daily basis what he has already prepared for us. You see, we have to get out of religion and come to the way of truth in Christ Jesus. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a way of life. It is born out of a personal relationship with a living Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that because of that relationship, we have access to everything that Jesus has for us as his people. In John 15, he said, "He is the vine, we are the branches." So there is a relationship there. And as we keep abiding in him daily, we will be drawing from him everything he has for us as a people that are connected with him. 3 John 2, and we are going to be sharing on what I've simply titled, "Receive Your Healing." Say to your neighbor, "Receive your healing today." And receive it every day of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. 3 John, let's read together for the sake of context. We're just going to read it from the first verse down to the third. And then we'll look at... Alright, let's read it to the fourth. 3 John 1 to 4. Let's go. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Please underline the fourth verse in your Bible. "I have no greater joy." I have no greater joy. You see, this is the heart of God for us as his children, just as, you know, John wrote this letter to Gaius, because Gaius was one of the brethren, and he was one of those brethren that were faithful to God. And so John heard about him, and John wrote to him to encourage him to step up in his faith to the point where he was fully enjoying every benefit that was available to him as a Christian, so to say. You see, he had heard about how Gaius was walking in the truth, how he was living by the word of God. And now he's challenging him to stretch his faith to affect all areas of his life positively. And that is what God is doing for you and I here this morning. So there is no greater joy in the heart of God, let's put it that way, than to hear that you and I are walking in the truth. In other words, we are walking in every provision and every promise he has made to us in his word. The Bible is not something that we just have and say, "Well, I have a Bible," or I have many different types of Bible, translations of the Bible. The reason why we have a Bible is that we may learn to live by the word of God that is written therein. You see, God didn't say, just have my word. He said, live by it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we are to live by the word of God. We are to walk in the promises of God. As far as God is concerned, he has made promises to us which are forever settled in heaven. And he wants us here on earth to walk in the fulfillment of those promises, not occasionally, but every day. You see, every day. Say to your neighbor, every day. You are to live by the word of God. Because the just shall live by faith. Amen. Living by faith is living by the word of God. And if you are a Christian, that's the way God wants you to live. So there is no greater joy in the heart of God than to hear that we are walking in the truth, which is his word. Now, let's look closely at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You see, one thing the truth does to us is that it affects our soul positively. When we walk in the word of God, when we spend time in the word of God, something begins to happen to us in the soul. In Romans chapter 2, the Bible talks about we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. In other words, as we spend time in the word of God, our souls are being transformed from glory to glory. Something is happening. Our ways are changing gradually. The old ways we used to think, the old ways we used to make choices are being affected by the word of God as we spend time in it. So Gaius, in walking in the truth, was having experiences in his soul that was making his Christian walk to be noticeable. You see, when you begin to live the way of God, everybody will see the fruit. They will take knowledge of you that you are a genuine Christian. It is the same way if you are not walking in the ways of God and you say you are a Christian, people will say, well, that is not a genuine Christian. That's a counterfeit one. Because the fruit of Christianity is not in his life. You see, Gaius, in spending time in the truth and choosing to live by the truth, was having effects of the truth in his soul. And so John heard about that and wrote this epistle to him and sent a commendation, or let's put it this way, encouragement, as it were, for him to begin to allow the truth that was in his soul to affect him in all areas of his life. And this is very important. Turn with me very quickly to Isaiah chapter 53. This is very important because if we don't understand what John is trying to get Gaius to see here, we'll just think, but what's the point? Gaius is already walking in the truth. Why bother write this epistle to him? If his soul is prospering, then he should already automatically be enjoying healing. He should automatically be enjoying prosperity. You know, why bother write this to him again? But you have to understand one thing. The truth that we receive from the word of God has to be applied and rightly divided in every aspect of our lives for us to personally benefit from them. You see, what God has said in the Bible is already concluded. But for every individual person to benefit from this truth that is contained in God's scripture, that individual has to take the word of God, rightly divide it, and apply it to every area of his life to profit thereby. You see, in Isaiah chapter 53, we see very clearly what Jesus already did for us. And if you and I reflect on this for a moment, we'll realize why it was important for John to write that epistle to Gaius. Isaiah 53, let us read together from verse 1 to verse 5. Let's go. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Now, look at what Isaiah prophesied ahead of time about Jesus, and how many of us will receive him, and the purpose of his coming. Well, for many of us, Jesus suffered. We know that. We even feel for him. We read in the Gospels how much suffering he went through and how much shame he suffered for us. But for us, many of us as Christians, that's where it ends. We just pity him, just as Isaiah said here. We just wonder why he had to go through all that. Oh God, what a man this Jesus was. Oh, look at how much he suffered. And he was such a nice man, you know. And he suffered so much. Remember what the Bible says about, those disciples of his that were on the road to Emmaus. They had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus told them so many things about himself and the reason why he came. But none of them understood what he was saying. So after he died, they were just headed in the wrong direction. They did not even believe that he was going to resurrect, yet he told them. So they were going to where he never told them to go. And on the way, they were conversing with one another and just pitying Jesus. And Jesus came in their midst and they were still talking to him and wondering, where did you come from? Are you a stranger in town? Did you not hear how much Jesus, that nice man, how much he suffered? And we thought he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, you know. But he suffered so much. Oh, what a pity. And he was such a nice man, you know. But that's the end of his life. Oh, we wonder how bad things happen to good people like him. That's my paraphrase. He was such a nice man. And he suffered so much. Why did all that happen to him? And yet, these were his disciples. But you see, Isaiah prophesied it. And if we are not careful, you and I will be in the same frame of mind. Jesus suffered. Oh, what a pity. Oh, he suffered. Oh, he suffered. He suffered. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Lord. But if we put full stop there, we have not got it yet. And some of us, when we think about the sufferings of Jesus, we just think about our sin. And we say, oh, well, he paid the price of my sin. Thank God I'm free from sin. So that's one step further. But still, that's not the end of the story. Did he suffer just for my sins alone? No. He suffered also for my sickness. Look again at verse 5. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace. Personalize it now. Don't just read it as our. Make it your own personally. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. Which means what he suffered was not just for my sin, but also for my healing and health. Now, let me ask you a simple question here this morning. Which one of us here this morning doubts his salvation? None of us. You don't doubt your salvation. If somebody asks you right now, are you sure you're a Christian? Or you'll be bold to tell them, yes, I am. Praise God. Are you sure you are going to live in paradise with Jesus? Oh, yes. I'm 100% sure that I will be in paradise with Jesus. Is there anyone here that would doubt that? No. But have you seen paradise before? How did you even believe that there's a place called paradise? You have not seen it before. Have you seen Jesus before? No. How do you believe you'll be in paradise with Jesus? Is it not just because the Bible says so? And because you have got your heart and your soul to believe that. You have allowed the truth that is in the Word of God to affect your soul in the area of your salvation. And so you are sure that you are a Christian. You are sure you are going to see God face to face after this life. You are sure you are going to live in the New Jerusalem with God. But then when it comes to your sickness, when you are sick in your body, how many of us are sure that we are healed? How many of us are sure that healing belongs to us as much as salvation belongs to us by the same sacrifice of Jesus? You begin to see why John wrote to Gaius? Because for many of us, it's easy to believe that we are saved. It's easy to believe that our sins has been paid for. And we are free from sin because of Jesus. But then when it comes to healing for our sicknesses, many of us are not so sure. You find some Christians say, well, you know, God heals some. But he doesn't heal some. You find some Christians say, well, you know, sometimes God puts sickness on our bodies to teach us a lesson when we have sinned against him. And then you find some saying, well, healing passed away with the apostles. Jesus gave them special powers to heal the sick, but when they died, the powers went with them. You know, all kinds of things you hear. Why? Because people have not allowed the truth of God to affect their soul in the area of healing as much as they have allowed the truth of God to affect their soul in the area of salvation for sin. We have to understand that the same sacrifice of Jesus paid the price for our salvation from sin and also salvation from sickness. So when we are sick, we should be 100% certain that healing belongs to us. Don't doubt God where your healing is concerned. Don't think, well, because the GP said. How many people know that the GP is a man like you and I? Let's look at verse 1 again of Isaiah 53. There's a choice involved. You have a choice to believe what the GP said and say, well, that is how it's going to be. Or to believe the truth, which is the word of God, and say, well, it's going to be unto you according to God's word. Verse 1 again says, who hath believed our report? Underline your Bible, our report. In the world, there are different kinds of reports. In fact, if you talk to 10 people, you ask them their views about sickness, they will give you various versions of what they think sickness is and what will happen when people are sick. Even amongst Christians, you'll be amazed the version people will give you about sickness, and yet they are Christians. Because a lot of us just base things on our own opinion and our human wisdom. We reason with our intellect and our human understanding rather than simply taking the word of God for it. And saying, well, if God said it, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what any other person may say. I believe the word of God. Oh, someone says, well, but I've been believing the word of God now for many years, but nothing has changed. Well, that's the problem. That is the problem. If you say you have been believing God for something for many years and nothing has changed, that tells me you have been doubting God all along. Because you said nothing has changed. It means you've been doubting. That's why you've not been getting it. Because you have not really been in faith. Somebody in faith does not count time anymore. Because when you choose to walk by faith, you shut down the door of sight. You don't walk by your senses anymore. Time doesn't matter to you anymore. You don't care about how long anymore. You wake up every morning and your testimony is the same. Praise God, it is well with me. Someone says, but you don't feel well. No, it's not about feelings. It's about what you believe. You wake up next week again, you declare the same thing. Praise God, it is well with me. You visit the GP in 2 weeks' time. They run the test and they tell you, well, we are sorry, it's getting worse. You don't get downcast. Say, praise God, it is well with me. Because that was just a test of your faith. The GP said it's getting worse. Whose report are you going to believe? The GP said it's getting worse. Whose report are you going to believe? Did God say it's getting worse? You leave the GP surgery and get out of that place and lift your hands to heaven and say, praise God, I believe the report of the Lord, not the report of man. I don't care what test the GP did. I believe God. It is well with me. In the name of Jesus, I will not die. I will live to declare the works of God in Jesus. I tell you, immediately heaven will back you up, because that's the faith that pleases God. You know, many times when we say we are walking by faith, we are actually walking by senses. We are like Gideon putting out the fleece. I will believe God that I'm getting my healing when I go to the GP and they run the test and they say it's getting better. That's not faith. No. That's not faith. That's walking by sight. We shall see that in a short while. That's not faith at all. That's actually walking by sight. In fact, put your finger there. Quickly turn with me to John chapter 20. You see, once we understand how to allow the truth of God to affect the way we think, in all areas of life, we will begin to enjoy the fullness of life, the abundant life that Jesus brought for us. It's about how we think. It's about how our souls think with the truth that God has given us. That's all. That was the whole essence of why John wrote to Gaius, to get him to allow the truth that is walking him to affect him in the area of his healing in his soul, and to affect him in the area of his prosperity in his soul. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The reason why we believe we are saved, the reason why we believe we will see God, is because we have allowed the word of God to affect our soul in the area of salvation from sin. We should do the same thing in the area of healing and prosperity and every other aspect of life. Because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not going to, he's done it already. And everything under the curse of the law affect all areas of life. So if you have been redeemed, then you should see yourself as someone who has been redeemed and begin to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Bible says In Psalm 107 verse 2, let them say so. Don't say what others are saying. You say what God says about you. You believe the report of the Lord. And that report is you are redeemed. Someone says, I don't feel redeemed. It's not about your feeling. It's about the truth. You walk in the truth. The truth is you are redeemed. Forget about how you think. Forget about how you feel. Forget about what others may be saying. You say what God says, because God has the power to perform His word. If you agree with God, God will back you up with His power. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But if you want the spirit to do miracles in your life, you have to believe God. You have to believe the report of the Lord. Don't believe what others are saying. You believe what God says. Look quickly with me in John chapter 20. That's Big John now. Oh, it's all about faith. And faith is simple. Don't let us complicate it for ourselves. Faith is quite simple and straightforward. Jesus taught it simply. We mustn't complicate it. Hallelujah. Now, the background, because we don't want to spend time here in John chapter 20, I'll encourage you to read it again and brush up on the background to what we are just about to look at, you know, because it was after the resurrection of Jesus and the disciples were gathered in a room because they were afraid of the Jews. And Bible says Jesus visited them on the Sabbath day and revealed himself to them, and they saw him, that yes, this is Jesus, he's resurrected. But John the Didymus, Thomas Didymus was not there. You see, he should have been there, but he was not there. And so he didn't see Jesus. And the others came, and when he came, the others told him, well, Jesus is alive. He has resurrected. We've seen him. He came while you are not here. He came. He said, no. Don't tell me that. I'm not going to believe. I will not believe it unless I myself see him face to face. Unless I touch him with my finger. I feel the nail print in his hand. I feel everything in his feet. And I feel him for myself. You see, Jesus heard him. Had a doubting Thomas. And then 1 week later, when they were gathered again, now Thomas was there. Jesus appears. Now look at what then happened when Jesus appeared the next time when Thomas was there. All right. We'll just pick it now from verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless. Please underline that in your Bible. Be not faithless. In other words, Thomas, you lack faith. Why did you not believe my report, which the other disciples share with you? Because I told you even before I died that I'm going to resurrect on the third day. You should go and wait for me at Galilee. None of you was at Galilee to start with. Not one of them went to Galilee. Or did you read in the Bible any of them go to Galilee? No. Even the women that were even smarter than the men, none of them went to Galilee. They went to anoint a dead body. At least they tried. The men were nowhere to be found. Whether in Galilee or the tomb, they never showed up. But the women went to the tomb. They went to the wrong place. At least they made an effort. Not one of them went to Galilee because they never believed he was going to resurrect. And the same unbelief was affecting Thomas here. When the other said, well, we've seen the Lord. It's a lie. He said, no, I don't believe it. And finally, he now sees Jesus. And he touched and he felt. And look at what he said then. You know. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus rebuked him immediately. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me. See the key? Because you've seen now. Thomas, the reason why you are believing now is because you have seen. In other words, it's because you are walking by sight that you are having faith, Thomas. That is wrong. And that is where many of us stumble. We can read this as, oh, doubting Thomas. What kind of man is this? How can he doubt? This doubting Thomas, but you and I doubt the same way. We doubt the same way. Because in many cases, we only believe when we see a sign of improvement. We only believe that something is going to happen when we see a little sign of possibility. It's difficult for us to believe when it looks impossible. Let's be honest with ourselves. How many of us will believe in this room right now that there are angels in this place? So many, innumerable angels here right now this month. Only a few who have meditated in the Word of God to allow their soul to be affected by the truth. Others will say, well, how am I sure they are here? There will be a doubt, unbelief. Say, okay. How many people are here this morning? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Can you count the angels? They are here. How? According to the Word of God. Psalm 103 verse 20. The excelling strength, the hearken to the voice of his word to carry out his command. Everywhere the word of God is upheld in truth, angels are there. Because they have a charge from God in heaven to go in all the earth for his word to carry it out. They are God's law enforcers here on earth. They enforce the word of God. That's their assignment. And that's why they will serve you as a child of God if you hold on to the word of God. They will back you up against the forces of the enemy if you hold on to God's word. You begin to see why the devil fights us where the word of God is concerned. The devil doesn't mind every one of us coming here this morning and dancing. He will even be in our midst dancing with us. But when we take the Bible and begin to share the truth of the word of God, my Bible tells me in James, the devil begins to shake like this. The devils believe and they tremble because they say, hey, these people now, they have the word, they have the truth. We can't lie to them anymore. We can't deceive them anymore. Because the only way the devil can succeed against you and I is to first of all get us to believe a lie. We are not dealing with a new devil. It's the same old serpent. What did he do when he went in the garden? The first thing was to get Eve to believe a lie. Because if he can't get you to believe a lie, he can't make you miss the blessing of God. It's as simple as that. So he will want you to believe that your sickness is not curable. He will want you to believe that what the GP said is the truth because the GP is the expert. That, hey, you are talking about the Bible, you just die. Even I don't believe all those people telling you to believe God's word, go and write your will and put your house in order. You're about to die. Then you go and believe that without knowing that's the voice of the stranger, the devil. Is that God's report? Who had believed our report? That's the key. So don't believe based on your senses like Thomas Didymus. You believe based on what Jesus said. Now look at what Jesus said. This is the heart of faith. In fact, if you don't understand anything else I've said here this morning, just understand what Jesus said here. And your life will be okay. Look at what Jesus said again. Verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen. Notice what Jesus is saying. Blessed are they that have not seen. They are not walking by sight. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. They have not seen, but they have believed. They have not seen any sign, but they have believed me. They have not seen any possibility, but they have believed that with me all things are possible. See the key? That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith and sight don't have any things to do together. So if your faith is based on how you feel, okay, I believe I'm healed because I feel well. That's not faith. Oh, I believe I'm sick because I feel sick. That's not faith. Forget about your feelings. Act upon the truth, which is the word of God. Whether you feel sick or feel well, declare the truth, which is, it is well with me. I don't care how I feel, whether I feel well or not, I declare it is well with me. I believe the report of the Lord, it is well with me. But if you are going by feelings, I tell you, you are not in faith. You are just insight. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way. The way of faith is you believe when you have not seen. You walk by faith and not by sight. You live by the word of God regardless of how you feel. If every one of us begin to declare the word of God and just hold on to it and hold on to it in every situation, I tell you, the devil will know his time is up. That finally the church have discovered who they are in Christ Jesus. And he will know it's all time up for him. So it's time for us to begin to take the word of God for it. Amen and amen. So, back to 3 John 2. This is God's will for us. That the truth, as it affects our soul, should affect all areas of our lives. And bring us healing and health and prosperity. And blessings that Jesus has purchased for us in all aspects of life. Verse 2 again says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Even as thy soul prospereth. In other words, let this prosperity that is in your soul affect all areas of your life. Now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. I want you to get your pen and paper. We are going to make some statements. I want you to take those statements home. I'm going to give you scriptures and want you to meditate on them, and let this truth register in your heart. You may not be sick in your body today, but there is going to come a time when you will need it. Every one of us from time to time will need to be healed of one sickness or the other. Why? Because as long as we are in this world, Bible says we have an adversary called the devil. If there was no devil, there would be no sickness. Because Jesus has paid the price for our liberty from sickness, from sin, as Isaiah said. But the devil, being a lawbreaker, he goes to take what Jesus delivered us from and tries to put them back on us. Because the devil is a taskmaster, is a wicked spirit and an oppressor. And if we don't know how to fight the good fight of faith, the devil will succeed against us, even though we are Christians. That's why John wrote to Gaius again, to get himself thinking with the truth in the area of healing, thinking with the truth in the area of prosperity. Let the truth affect every area of our lives. The word of God is truth. Now look at what Jeremiah tells us. So don't doubt healing. Don't doubt your healing. When sickness comes in your body, just believe immediately that this sickness will not last. Immediately. No matter what the GP said, you begin to speak to the sickness, the word of faith. Remember how Jesus spoke a word of faith concerning Lazarus when his sister sent word unto him and they said, your friend whom you love is sick. Come quickly before he dies. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the Father may be glorified thereby. You see, he already spoke a word of faith ahead of time before the devil went ahead to kill him. You see, when you speak a word of faith ahead of time, it becomes a seed that will overcome the devil. Even if the devil makes that sickness worse in your body, you will gain the recovery because you already spoke a word of faith. You got there before the devil. So Jesus got there before the devil. So when the devil finally killed Lazarus, the word of faith that Jesus spoke at the beginning was what he acted upon at the grave of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. Why? Because I said already that this sickness is not unto death. So you cannot die. You have to live. You see the key? Many of us just think about what Jesus did at the grave. But you have to remember what he said before. Faith begins by you believing and speaking a word into the situation. And that becomes a focal point for the power of God to turn the situation around for you. No matter how the devil tries to mess it up, you are going to win. Because you already spoke a word of faith into the situation. So immediately when the sickness comes, you speak to it. I say, yeah, sickness, you won't last in my body. Because this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot remain here. You have to go in the name of Jesus. You have to go. Jeremiah 30. From verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee. And I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Hallelujah. In the midst of their afflictions, in the midst of their sorrow and their sufferings and their pain, when everything looked incurable, I will encourage you to read from the verses before where we started. You get it in context. Because it was like their wound could not be cured. Their sickness had no cure. Everything was bleak. And in the midst of it, the word of God came to them through Isaiah. God will turn things around for them. But are they going to believe the report of the Lord? That's the key. Because God said to them, all those who prey upon you, I will turn them into a prey. The sickness that has been afflicting your body, I will now turn it into a prey for you. In other words, you will be the one overcoming the sickness. Everything against you, I will turn the situation around that those things that are against you, you will overcome them all. That's the way to see it. Because God said, I, Jehovah Rapha, will heal you. I will heal you. So it is the will of God to heal you. Don't doubt that. Say to your neighbor, it is God's will to heal you. So don't doubt your healing. No matter what the GP said, it is God's will for you to be healed. Healing belongs to you. So receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is God's will for us to be healed. Now please write this down. Healing is your bread in Christ Jesus. So if you are a Christian, healing is your bread. Jesus says so. And it is always available for you whenever you need it. You have to know that as a truth. Healing is my bread. And it is always, not occasionally, always available to you as a Christian anytime you need it. Jesus said the Father should give us every day our daily bread. Isn't that so? So if I need healing today, I can go to the Father according to how Jesus said I should pray. Father, healing is my bread. It's part of the bread that you have for me each day. So give me this day my healing in Jesus' name. And then you begin to worship him. You'll be amazed how the power of God rests upon you to make you whole. Because that is all God wants, to walk in the truth, to walk by faith and not by sight, to take him at his word, to humble ourselves to believe his word, and not be proud of us to think we know better than God. To say, Lord, you said it. I don't know how you will do it, but I believe you. To be like Peter, who said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. It's all about the word of God. Just take his word for it and act upon it. You'll be amazed. The same Peter that caught nothing now had the word of Jesus in obedience, caught so much that his net began to break. We serve an awesome God. If you will believe, you will see the glory of God. All right. In front of that, please write the scriptures, and as I said, meditate on them. Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. There Jesus said, healing is the children's bread, and it's not good to take it and cast it to dogs. But that woman was smart because she had faith. She said, well, I don't disagree. Healing is the children's bread, so I'm not coming for what belongs to the children because I'm not part of the children of God. See, the woman knew her place because she was a Greek, a Gentile, not a Jew. So Jesus is saying, what you are asking for does not belong to you. It belongs to the Jews, the children of God. Healing belongs to them. And yet many of them were not coming for the bread. You begin to see now, the fact that I'm a child of God does not mean automatically it's going to happen. The bread belonged to them and they weren't coming for the bread. But the woman said, just give me the crumbs. Just give me the crumbs. And Jesus said, great is your faith, woman. The children who have the bread don't even believe in the bread. You believe in the crumbs that fall under the table. You believe that even the crumbs can make you whole. And yet the bread that belongs to the children, they are not coming for it. Jesus said, your faith makes you go your way. Your daughter is made whole. You see the key? Faith is the key. Faith is the key. Just act on the word of God. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You can read it from verse 14 to 16. Again, it's all about Jesus. And then we have to come. You see, you have to come to the throne of grace in the time of need. Many of us don't go to the throne of grace in the time of need. We go elsewhere. Some of us don't even go anywhere. We just sit down and feel sad and feel sorrowful. And then we gripe and complain and moan and look for somebody to blame for all our misfortune. No. Jesus said, come unto the throne of grace in the time of need. Come. Come when you are sick. And stand before the throne of grace and say, Jesus, you are wounded for my transgressions. You are bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon you. With your stripes I am healed. I have come to receive from you this day my daily bread. Thank you for your healing power. And then you begin to worship him. Someone says, is that all? Yes, that's all. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Because faith is simple. You don't need 10 steps before you get into faith. Say to your neighbor, you need just one step. And that one step is the word of God. You know how it is? Sometimes we have so many steps. Step one to faith. Step two. Step three. Step four. But that's not in the word of God. That's just enticing words of human wisdom. Philosophy. All you need is just one step into faith, the word of God. Just believe and act on it. That's all. And you are in faith. Praise God. Second thing I want you to write down is this. But in order to personally possess and enjoy it, you see, we just said that healing is your bread. Now, in order to personally, as an individual, possess it and enjoy it, you must learn to receive it. That is where many of us miss it again. We don't know how to receive what belongs to us. We have to understand that when something is given, it must be received. Because if you don't receive it, it is still not yours. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But we have to learn to receive it through the knowledge of faith. If we don't know how to receive it, the blessing is there and we are starving. I remember, you know, what one minister, you know, I think God gave him a vision sometime, and he went in that vision, he went to heaven, and God showed him a room in heaven. He said that room was so long he just could not see the end of it. And that room had shelves on either side. Long rows of shelf on this side, long rows of shelf on the other side. And in that dream, he saw on the shelves all the different parts of the human body. He saw eyes, he saw ears, he saw nose, he saw hair, hand, finger, bones, joints, every part of the human body. He said he saw on the shelves. So many. All the shelves were full. He said that was what struck him. That every shelf there was full. There was no space. No empty space. And then he said in a dream, he was wondering, what is this? What does this mean? And he said, the understanding came to him from God that, you see, when I made every human being, I made spare part for every part of his body. So if any part of his body malfunctions, I have the exact spare part for that particular person. For instance, if my finger is malfunctioning, God has the exact spare part for that finger, which he made for me personally. So he said, then he was wondering, but how come then they are all stayed there? He said, well, God was then telling him that the problem is that my children are not coming to receive them. So they are all there on the shelf. And yet I made all these things for them. See, the problem is we are not going to receive what belongs to us. Many of us miss out because we don't know how to receive. But we have to learn to receive. Galatians 3:14, please write that down and meditate in it. There Jesus, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, help us to realize that we must receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, because Christ has already redeemed us in verse 13 from the curse of the law. And now we have to learn to receive. You see, we have to receive. The key is to receive. And we need to receive those promises in our individual lives. Also, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Meditate in that also. The problem with many of us is how we receive. Because in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4, Bible says, the same gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But the word preached unto them did not profit them, because they did not mix it with faith. We heard it, we mixed it with faith, it profited us. But they heard it, they did not mix it with faith, it did not profit them. So it's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to receive that word and apply your own faith to it as a simple child. To say, God said, I believe it. That's how to apply your faith to the word of God. Don't just say, well, I heard. Well, what are you doing with what you heard? That's the key. You have to do something with what you heard. You have to apply it to your life and act upon it. That's the time when you then receive it personally. Because God said, by the stripes of Jesus you are healed. That's general for everybody. Now, if anyone wants to walk in that, that person has to receive it personally and say, well, God said, I believe that it is for me. I agree with that. I declare it out of my mouth. I believe it with my heart. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Then you receive it that way, through faith. Please write this next. The way to receive, or the way to receive it, is by faith, not by sight. Again, that's how you receive your healing. You receive it by faith, not by sight, not by your senses, not by your intellect, but by faith, in other words, by simply acting on the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, John 20:29. We've already looked at John, you know, 29. Also, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So when we are walking by faith, we are not walking by sight. We are not walking by our senses. Sight there talks about our natural senses, our natural understanding, our emotions, our feelings, our intellect, our reasonings. We are not like Gideon. Well, if God is for us, how come all these things have befallen us? Where are the miracles that God promised our father? If God is really for us, where are the miracles? Many of us are waiting to see the cloud of glory before we know that God is in our house to bless us. If you are waiting to see a sign, you miss God. Many times God will be there, you won't even know he's there. Because he doesn't walk the way we walk. He's the God of faith. He calleth the things that be not as though they were. If you will believe that God is right there with you, you will experience his power. It's as simple as that. But if you are waiting to see a sign before you believe God is there, you miss him. How many people remember the experience of Elijah in the cave? All the spectacular was happening. The wind, the earthquake, renting the rocks, and all the things, even fire. But Bible says God was not in all those things. But God was in the still, small voice. If Elijah was focused on the spectacular, ooh, earthquake, glory, hallelujah. Look at the fire of God's glory. Ah, God is here. It's like the Moses on the mount, burning bush. Hey. But God is not there. You've left where God is, in the still small voice. Today, many Christians are chasing signs and wonders all over the place, but they've left the still small voice. You know what the still small voice is? It's your Bible. It looks small, but it's the biggest of all. It looks like, is this what will heal me? No, I need the miracles. I need to see the glory cloud. I need to hear God coming like a mighty rushing wind, as on the day of Pentecost. Then I'll believe that healing is there for me. But your healing is in the still small voice, the word of God. God is always here. But sometimes in the spectacular, God is not there. It's the devil deceiving people. Bible talks about lying signs and wonders. But God is always in his word, because God and his word are one. May God help us. All right. So, again, the way to receive it is by faith, not by sight. And then under that, write this also. Just in the same way that you received your salvation. In other words, just the same faith. You know how you believe that with your heart, you believe on Jesus, with your mouth you make your confession to say, Jesus, come and be my Savior, and then you are saved. It didn't even last maybe a minute to say the sinner's prayer. And from that day onwards, you believe you are saved. You didn't feel different. Sometimes you don't even feel saved. But you believe you are saved. That's the same way you receive your healing. Forget about how you feel. How many of us feel saved all the time? Sometimes you don't even feel like you are saved. But you know you are saved. It's as simple as that. You don't need somebody to tell you, are you a Christian? You know you are. Do you feel like you're a Christian? You don't feel like a Christian all the time. But you know you are. Well, allow that same truth to register in your mind in the area of your healing. Forget about your feelings. Many of us go by our feelings and we miss God. Forget about your feelings. Know the truth. Know that you are healed. You are the healed. You are not the sick. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Say so. Don't say what the devil wants you to say. Don't say I'm sick as a parrot. Don't say I'm just this. I'm just little worm. I'm nothing. I'm this. I'm... No, 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 no. You are a child of God. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are a partaker of God's divine nature. And in God's divine nature, there is no sickness, no disease. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not the whole person patched up. No, you are a brand new man in Christ Jesus. Brand new. Recreated in the same likeness as God. Because Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You begin to allow those truths to register in you. So when sickness comes against your body, you let the truth rise up from within you in your spirit. And let that truth prevail over what the devil is doing in your body. You can't stop the devil from putting sickness on your body, but you can let the truth rise up from within you and flush that sickness out of your body. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. All right, write this finally. Okay, in front of that last bit, just in the same way that you received your salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Romans 10, verse 10, in context from verse 6 to 10. Again, that's telling us how we got saved through faith and the grace of God working together. Finally, write this. Always remember that the same sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary provided for your forgiveness from sins and your healing from sickness and diseases. You just have to remind yourself of that all the time. Jesus didn't die for sin separately and then die for sickness separately. The same sacrifice paid the price for all. One sacrifice. In front of that, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, Psalm 103, verse 3. And in closing, please write this down. How to apply this personally for yourself. So how to receive your healing personally. How to do so. Number one. See, all these four ways of receiving it are taken from Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 25. I'll encourage you to study that very closely. It's about Abraham and how he received the fulfillment of God's promise, Isaac. So this is the way God works. Remember when he was walking by sight sometime along the line? He produced Ishmael. So it's just like you and I. We are wondering, but it's taking long. God promised me a child, but it's taking too long. It may become too late. Well, God promised me healing, but it's taking too long. The sickness is staying too long in my body. But God said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, but this sickness refuses to leave my body. You have to understand how to receive it as Abraham finally understood how to receive Isaac. Number one, don't focus on the sickness. Instead, focus on the word of God that promises you healing. So if you are sick in your body, you have to get your Bible out. Say to your neighbor, don't be lazy when you are sick. You need to get your Bible out and meditate on God's promises concerning your healing. Amen. Many of us fold our hands and we expect things to just change. No, things don't change by you folding your hands. If you believe God, then you are going to act in faith. Faith without works is dead. Be alone. If you believe God, then take the word of God and begin to meditate on it, to act upon it. Then your faith will please God. And the power of God will take over. So don't focus on the sickness. Instead, focus on the word of God that promises you healing. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And in addition to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We don't look at what we see. We look at what we don't see. What we see is temporary. But the word of God, which is eternal, is what will last forever. Number two, don't lean on your human wisdom or understanding. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. See, Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb or his own old age anymore, because he made the mistake earlier to consider those things and produced Ishmael, and he saw that God rejected that. So he learned from that. And then he realized, now I don't need to consider what is evident naturally. So I don't need to go by my natural understanding anymore. It doesn't matter if I'm too old. It doesn't matter if my wife has reached menopause and can't have a child anymore. So he allowed the truth now to affect his soul. So the way he was thinking after the mistake of Ishmael was now different. He was now thinking right before he got Isaac. I don't care how old I am anymore. I don't care whether it looks possible or impossible anymore. God said, I must believe that. God said, I must believe that. My mind, hear me clear now. God said, and that is final. You shut up my mind, no reasoning. Just say yes to God. That's all. I believe God. How God will do it, I don't know. I don't even need to know. But one thing I know, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Praise God. And Isaac came. Hallelujah. That's the way to receive your healing. The GP said it's incurable. Well, with God, all things are possible. You just believe God. That's all. Number three, meditate on God's word that promises healing until you are fully persuaded. Don't just take the Bible and quote one verse of scripture and expect to have a miracle or a breakthrough. It doesn't work that way. Not too many of us are slothful. We are lazy Christians. And then we just wake up one day and we want God to perform all the miracles in the Bible for us on that day. But we've not been faithful to his word. How many of us know that a farmer understands that he has to till the ground before he puts the seed in? And even after he has put the seed in, he has to maintain the ground to ensure he has a harvest. How come then you think you can just wake up one day, quote one verse of scripture, and expect miracles? No. You are quoting the scripture from your mouth, but your heart is not even fully persuaded. You are still doubting. Oh well, God said, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. But then your heart, you are afraid to die. What if I'm not healed? Then I'll die before my time. And I'm the breadwinner of my family. If I die, they will all suffer. And then you say you are in faith? That's no faith. What you need to do is sit down with the Word of God day and night and keep studying it, keep meditating in it, keep thinking upon it. There will come a time when the Word of God will be so rich in your heart that there will be no room for doubt anymore. In fact, you don't see any other outcome in your situation apart from what God said. That is the point of full persuasion. That is how Abraham received Isaac. He became fully persuaded. Remember that after Ishmael, before he finally got Isaac, it took another 14 years. So you begin to see what was happening to Abraham now. He was meditating in the Word of God until he became fully persuaded. And then Isaac came. So you have to meditate in God's Word until you are fully persuaded. Romans 4 verse 21. And finally, number 4. Actively and continually praise God for your healing until it manifests. You have to diligently praise God every day while you are sick. Someone says, I'll wait for the healing to come, then I'll come and do thanksgiving at church. Again, that's walking by sight, not by faith. How about thanking God when you still feel sick? That is faith. Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen, and yet they have believed. If you really believe that healing is yours, you will thank him while you are still sick. Because you believe that the sickness will not last. So, but if you are waiting for the sickness to go before you begin to thank God that you are healed, you are not in faith. And that's where many of us miss it as Christians. Abraham, Bible says, began to give God glory. He began to praise God before Isaac came. Which means he was waking up every morning and praising God for Isaac. When Isaac had not come. He was thanking God for the promise. The promised child, Isaac, is coming. He's coming. Praise God. Isaac is coming. Oh God, I thank you for Isaac. I thank you for Isaac. I know it's coming because you said so. He had learned from his mistake. He's not going to try to help God anymore. He's going to wait patiently and praise God every day until Isaac comes. So if you are believing God for your healing, you praise God every day while you are patiently waiting for the healing to manifest. Say that to your neighbor. If you are believing God for your healing, learn to praise him every day until the healing comes. And be patient to receive it. Amen. Romans 4:20. Bible says, it did not stagger the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He began to give glory to God. Psalm 50 verse 23 also. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. Then you begin to see what Abraham was doing when he was giving glory to God. He was praising God. He was honoring God with his mouth while he was waiting for Isaac. Imagine how that would be better for every one of us rather than complaining. You know, many of us dishonor God with what comes out of our mouth without realizing that those things are the things the devil puts pressure on us to say in order to snare us in our problems. Because we are snared with what comes out of our mouth. If you are sick in your body and you are blaming God for not healing you, you will remain in that sickness longer than necessary. Because in blaming God, you are snaring yourself in the sickness. You need to praise God and honor him. God is not responsible for your sickness, so you praise him for your healing. And he will turn things around. So many Christians say, God, why me? Why did you allow all this to happen to me? After all I've done for you. Well, you are snared by what comes out of your mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You see. You begin to learn to glorify God. Just honor him. Oh, I feel sick. But I'm not going to use my mouth to dishonor God. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to thank him for my healing. Lord, I give you praise. You are my healer. I give you praise that you already paid the price for my healing. I thank you that healing is my bread. Oh Lord, you are the source of my daily bread. I give you thanks, mighty God. You never leave me. You never forsake me. Oh God of my salvation, who daily loads me with benefits. I worship you. I adore you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for giving me what belongs to me, the healing and health in Jesus' name. That's how to glorify God. And I'm going about saying, oh, you know, I'm sick, 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 sick. I don't know why. Every day, sickness. From one sickness to the other. I don't know. I don't even know what's happening to me. When I have one sickness, then another sickness. And then another sickness. That doesn't glorify God. That glorifies the devil. So say to your neighbor, learn to glorify God. And your situation will improve. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do that this morning before we go. We are going to lift our hands. I know many times, many of us have believed God. We have acted on His word, but we have not been praising God in our situation. This same way of faith applies to all other areas of your need, not just your healing. No matter what you need from God, you study that Romans chapter 4. That we just looked at from verse 16 to verse 25 and begin to apply that to your life. Begin to allow the truth that is contained there to be the way you live, because that is God's way for you. That is the way of faith. You begin to glorify God. So this morning, I want you to rise to your feet and I want you to glorify Him. If you are sick in your body, I want you to glorify God as your healer. Forget about the sickness now. Don't focus on it. Focus on God, who is your healer. And magnify His name above the sickness. Give Him praise as your healer. Honor Him with your mouth. And let Him know that you believe His report. You don't believe the GP's report. Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, we believe, therefore we are spoken. You see, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's what honors God. When we bring His word to Him and declare His word before Him, He said, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Doesn't want us to say what the devil is doing. He wants us to say what His word says. Even He Himself, when there was darkness, He wasn't saying darkness. He said, let there be light. What you need is the healing, not the sickness. So stop talking about the sickness. Start talking the healing with your mouth, with your tongue. That glorifies God. So go ahead personally. Lift your hands to Him and thank Him. That He's your healer. And thank Him that you believe His report this morning. And you receive your healing by faith in the name of Jesus. You are not struggling for it, because it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You are not looking to man for your healing. You are looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You believe God for your healing. And you thank Him that He makes you whole. He makes you whole in His presence here today. Today is the day of salvation for you. You are not thinking of, you know, one day down the road. You are believing Him today. Today, Bible says today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today, believe today. Thank Him today. And keep thanking Him every day until the healing manifests, you see. There's a day you take a step of faith, and then you keep walking by that same faith until you receive the physical manifestation. You don't look back anymore, Bible says. We don't look back. We believe unto the saving of the soul. You keep believing by praising Him every day. So when you take the step of faith today to acknowledge God as your healer and to declare that you believe His report, it doesn't matter what the report of the GP has said, you believe the report of the Lord, you believe that you are healed today by the stripes of Jesus, don't turn back from that. Tomorrow when you wake up, you lift your hands and praise him for your healing. Every day, wake up praising for your healing. Praising for your healing. Praising for your healing.